everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Maybe oh, you had better wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Tuesday on B&E. Off we go. 4 hours of fun and conversation on... you know, on a three-day work week, it's for a lot of folks, it's kind of hump day already. Gets you up over the hump and into Thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving holiday, which is coming fast with a lot to talk about. Longhorns still haven't played a football game since November 7th. We'll talk about the health of the team, where they stand. Showdown game Friday with Iowa State. Also, more rough recruiting news on the recruiting front yesterday for the Longhorns and everybody in the state of Texas as Ohio State's invaded the Lone Star State once again. Details on that coming. Monday Night Football, good one last night as Jared Goff and the Rams come up big. Tom Brady and the Bucks come up small on Monday Night Football to wrap up Week 11. We've got so much going on. Glad you're with us. Heck, with the kids out of school and whatever else is going on, maybe let them sleep in a little bit this morning on this, the Tuesday, the 24th of November, Mr. Godbolt.
Yeah, they have been sleeping in since March. Those dudes have been getting their little sleep-ins.
Yeah, it's a different world.
Yeah, it certainly is. Their clocks are totally different now. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you. Keep up the good battle. We're still right dead smack in the guts of it. So, as we always say, you know, be a part of the solution. Don't be a part of the problem, please.
When at all possible, that would be the encouraged, right, as we battle through the very, very latest and all that's going on. But it is the holiday week, so as you say, do what you can do, but also be very, very safe. And I know everyone wants to see
lots
friends
of people
and family.
Traveling.
Well, you mentioned yesterday people getting COVID tested. I saw another long line of that yesterday. People who do want to go see family during the holidays, get yourself tested.
And that's even locally. They're making sure that you can't come by the house unless you get yourself tested.
You know, there'll be more. You know, the vaccines are hopefully coming, and we can get back to some normalcy. But cases begin to continue to spike and numbers rise. So be advised of that. But there's also plenty of sports to discuss. Lots to talk about. Longhorns. You know, we talked about the magnitude of the game on Friday. It's a big one for both Texas and Iowa State. Huge game in the Big 12 Conference. We hear plenty from Tom Herman this morning. Also on Thanksgiving Day, the Texans and the Cowboys are playing Turkey Day football games. We'll begin to preview those. The Thanksgiving Day trio of games, which now includes an issue for the Baltimore Ravens, who are going the wrong direction. Let's get you caught up on all the news of the morning, trending topics. There's plenty of them, including that Ravens story from the NFL. Let's get you the news. Sharp vision, modern LASIK. We're believing is seeing, and what we'll be seeing on Friday morning at 11 o'clock is Texas and Iowa State in a battle for first place in the Big 12 Conference. 20th-ranked Longhorns hit the practice field yesterday in game week prep for that game to face the 15th-ranked Iowa State Cyclones. Thanks to a bye week and their COVID postponement last week, Longhorns haven't played a game since November the 7th, which has allowed the Horns to get some key players back from injury. With 20 days between games, starting quarterback Sam Ellinger should be as healthy as he's been since September. Team also expects the return of wide receivers Josh Moore and Jordan Whittington, as well as both tight ends, Cade Brewer and Jared Wiley. On defense, defensive tackle Keandre Coburn is back at full speed. Of course, he sprained his ankle in that West Virginia game. As we say, Texas and Iowa State, 11 a.m. Friday, live right here on the Horn and across the Austin Radio Network. Much more on that game throughout the morning, throughout the day here on the Horn. Recruiting news on the heels of landing Quinn Ewers, the number one quarterback prospect for the 2022 class, recruiting class, the Ohio State Buckeyes yesterday landed the commitment from local prospect, the five-star wide receiver Caleb Burton III from Del Valle High School. Burton is a five-star recruit, top wideout in the 2022 class, according to 24/7 Sports. He is also going to Ohio State, according to his commitment yesterday. Monday Night Football wrapped up Week 11 last night in the NFL. Jared Goff outdueling Tom Brady as the Rams held on for a 27-24 win over Tampa Bay in Tampa. Goff lit up the Bucs defense, 376 yards, three touchdowns. The Rams pull into a first-place tie with Seattle in that very tough NFC West at 7-3. Tom Brady and the Bucs fall to 1-3 in primetime this season. They're 7-4 overall, a game and a half back of the streaky New Orleans Saints in the NFC South. NFL news elsewhere. How about the backsliding Baltimore Ravens have placed running backs Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins on the reserve COVID-19 list yesterday after the running backs tested positive for COVID-19. They are expected to miss Baltimore's primetime matchup against the undefeated Steelers on Thursday night. And they're already at 6-4 and outside the playoffs, now facing the best team in the AFC without those two players. Season is over for Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner and number one overall pick in last April's draft, suffered a torn ACL and MCL in Sunday's game with Washington. Severity of the injury is worst-case scenario for the Bengals. The typical 9-month to a year recovery for that injury brings into certain question what Burrow's availability will be for next season. In the NBA, free agent center DeMarcus Cousins has signed a 1-year deal with the Houston Rockets. 30-year-old missed all of last season after tearing his left ACL in the summer of 2019 as a member of the LA Lakers.
This segment brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, now offering all laser LASIK starting at $495 per eye. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, believing is seeing.
That's another big hit in recruiting.
Yeah, Caleb Burton III.
Caleb's a pretty good player, let me tell you. And they've got two others over there right now. This little school down in Del Valle just had a running back go to Michigan, and now another guy commit to Ohio State. They have two other wide receivers that, if Texas is slow on the trigger, they'll lose those two also, and they are good. One's a sophomore, a big 6'3 kid that just has all kinds of talent and is going to be, as time goes on, just be a stud of a wide receiver. Another one's like a slot receiver that reminds me of the kids that TCU gets that go into slot E and is a hands guy, all hands, that can absolutely move. And if they're slow afoot after those guys, they'll be gone also, both of them.
Well, I mean, slow afoot or
The kids just don't want to come.
Yeah,
the other thing is the fact that the kids just don't want to go to Texas. That could be it also.
I mean, that obviously, you know, the Quinn Ewers story is one we've talked about a lot. He was a commit to Texas, his dream school, and we've talked about the reasons and ramifications of him decommitting, reopening his commitment or his recruitment, and then committing to Ohio State last week. He's from Southlake Carroll, and so that's a big story here in Austin because he was a Texas commitment and from the state of Texas. Well, this is one in your own backyard. I mean, this is in your backyard. This is Del Valle High School.
This is a high school coach's son.
Yeah, son of the high school coach, high school coach, and
18. Like I told you, I've watched them over the last couple of years.
They just don't have the numbers, but they have good athletes, right?
Dude, and they got a facility there, and they're only going to start getting the numbers, and they're only going to start getting the talent. And Coach Burton does a great job. As I said, this is a numbers group over there, Ian. If they had the numbers, they would be very competitive.
Yeah, they don't have the lines of scrimmage. They just, you know, they've got some.
But they got skill guys, let me tell you.
Right? I mean, obviously they've got one kid going to Michigan.
Right.
One going to Ohio State.
And they'll have two others, like I said, over the next year or so. Those two kids are going to be offered. One's going to be offered as a sophomore, and the other one's going to be offered as a junior. People aren't going to let those two go by. Once all you have to do is turn on the film and watch how they play the game.
Well, and I would say, you know, like most of Austin and certainly the suburbs, I mean, mm-hmm. Del Valle is a fast-growing area with all the houses that are going up out that direction, Riverside and West. And
I did take a wrong turn out there, and all of a sudden end up to all these brand-new homes and stuff. I mean, like, where the hell am I?
Oh, yeah. I mean, out there between, you know, the Riverside and 183 and Coda, all kinds of new neighborhoods and houses, and a lot of folks are moving that direction, which is bringing
it's a beautiful facility.
Oh man, the whole athletic complex there at Del Valle High School, right by the airport, beautiful spot. But yeah, Caleb Burton, number one wide receiver in the state of Texas.
So they're going to have three
of those for the 2022 class.
Back to back.
We're already watching Garrett Wilson on a show at Ohio State. He's from Lake Travis, of course, West Austin. He was the number one or one of the top players in the state of Texas when he came out. That's just discouraging. And Longhorns are recruiting, but you're missing out on those kind of guys.
Yeah, someone says, why don't they win? They just don't have the numbers of the big people.
Yeah, football's
Guys play two ways.
Yeah, this isn't basketball where you got five guys on the floor, so if you have two stars, you can
you're
win.
Good.
You've got to have offensive line play. You got to have people that can.
Yes.
You got to field 22 players. You got a couple of special ones. It gives you a chance, but obviously football is more than just that. But those are.
No, those special ones there just keep you in the game. They don't. It's hard to win when you don't have lines of scrimmage. That's their deal.
Yes.
They just don't have it.
They do not, especially when you're playing teams like Westlake and
Lake Travis, and even Austin High and teams like that.
But,
yeah.
That's the not good news. Good news for the Longhorns. They get a chance. They have an opportunity. To change some opinions and play for a Big 12 championship. That certainly is still in in front of them. And they have a lot of reason to be optimistic on Friday. They've got, you know, as we just said, they won't have played a game for 20 days by Saturday or by Friday's morning's game. They should be as healthy as they've been. Now you wonder how healthy a guy like Sam Ehlinger can be, right? Three weeks kind of off his feet and all the various bumps and bruises he was playing through. And the fact that Tom Herman has said with the extra time, even the bye week, it was about trying to sharpen our passing game and really work on the timing. And, you know, one of the things they've struggled with, as we know from Tom Herman, is the lack of an offseason, but also a new offense with new receivers. And then those receivers have been kind of shuffling through the lineup for Tom Herman in Texas, which leads to, Sam Ehlinger, chemistry issues with his receivers. You know, Joshua Moore, Jake Smith have been kind of in and out of the lineup. Brendan Schooler, and they, again, Jordan Whittington, we know that story. So this should be as healthy as Texas has been with 3 weeks to practice, with as many healthy guys as they've had since the start of the season. I mean, the argument should be there that this should be as sharp a looking team as Texas has put on the field this year.
Well, a lot of people like a lot of stats. I'm not big on all the stats, but the stats tell me that Tom Herman has had almost a month. We're starting to get towards that Tom Bo Herman stuff, and he
extra time
tends to find a way in this kind of time to win big ball games.
Well, whether you accept Tom Herman that, you know, the offseason was challenging and no spring practice and seven new coaches, all the unfamiliarity of that and the offseason unlike any other, if you want to give him that excuse for the rough start and the 1-2 start to conference play, and as sloppy as they were in so many phases, there's no excuse for Friday. Because Friday, you've had these coaches here, you've been here, you've played six football games, you've had 3 weeks to get ready, you're as healthy as you've been, you're on your home field, the West Virginia game was at home, you haven't traveled anywhere in a month.
Yes.
You should be as fresh and as sharp and as ready to go
as
you've been.
Should never be a focus problem in this game. It shouldn't be a 10-penalty, 8-penalty. This is a championship type of play right here. Well, it is.
You should play to a championship level this Friday.
Yeah, you have to in order to win the game, for one thing.
Correct.
And you should be that way anyhow. You know, it's not really an excuse, but they have had injuries at this wide receiver position. Never have they really been healthy at that position. And that was their weak link, and we all knew that. We knew they had talent, but they had never been together. And every time they seemed to get together, one guy would go out or two guys would go out, and one guy would miss a lot of time. But Jordan Whittington now has been about 2 weeks of being out on the field again. And, boy, he's one of those difference makers. He's one of those kids that, you know, as you said a couple years ago when he first got here, I just couldn't tell because I never saw him. You know, none of us ever saw him, but then we saw him flash. And what I saw of the flash is the real deal when he can be on the field. And I think the same of Jake Smith. If those two ever got to play seven straight games, you know what I mean?
Well, the only name that you're missing for Texas is on the offensive side, which has been your biggest issue this season, in my mind, is as far as consistency. Defense was rough early, but it's gotten better and better. Special teams was terrible early and has gotten better. Offense has been the one thing that's struggled, I feel like, for first two games, as good as it's been, and then it's just been a rough go on the offensive side of the ball. This is, the only name you're missing is Keyonte Ingram. And that, as we've talked about, that might be the best thing for the running back rotation.
I didn't hear the beginning of Tom Herman's talk yesterday, his news conference about the health of Keyonte.
Questionable, which sounds like he won't play.
Yeah, it sounds like that ankle still. It's a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, I think he, everyone else was confirmed that we're good.
Mm-hmm.
But the, including the tight ends, because with had they played Kansas on Saturday, your Cade Brewer and Jared Wiley likely would not have played in that game. There was a question even for last Saturday's game with Kansas about Jordan Whittington, being 100% ready to go, and he's coming off minor knee surgery, so you don't want to rush that, especially playing Kansas. But with that game being postponed and moved to December, it's given that other week. So, everyone a full go. Joshua Moore.
And it will be an interesting say goodbye to a lot of players. With nobody in the stands on senior day,
there'll be some people in the stands. The
25%. Mom and dad will be there. Yeah, mom and dad will be there. But it really is really, really strange. This will be a strange senior day to leave the university, not with a packed house. And generally, you get a packed house on senior day, and this will be different for him. But sometimes senior day can be an awful distraction, too.
Well, and this is a senior day unlike any other with the crowd situation and COVID.
Yeah.
But this year doesn't count. I mean, these guys arguably could be back. Couldn't they? By my reading of the rule? Like, if Tom Herman and the coach staff were to want them to come back, and they wanted to come back, they could. correct?
Well, if they keep dropping recruits, they probably should come back. If if they keep going the same route that they're going right now in recruiting, there's a bunch of them that should think about coming back because there's nobody to replace you. Look, I mean, especially these special positions, guys are going, nah, I'm not coming.
Well, I was thinking about that. You know, we talk about recruiting meets the season, and we know that's become a bigger challenge for all coaches with the early signing window.
Except for Ohio State. Yeah, thank you.
But it is a challenge even there where you're trying to prepare. With this season being pushed backwards, and Texas very well, if they can win three straight games, which would be six straight games, could be playing on December the 19th in a Big 12 title game, which would be great. But at the same time, the early signing window opens right after that, you know, right before Christmas.
You'd rather be in the game and playing in the championship.
Sure you would, but it, I mean, there's only so many hours in the day.
You just have to take that chance. Because you got to play.
Sure. I'm not saying you have a choice on it. I'm just pointing out that this is a challenging time for your time management because you're trying to recruit. Yes, winning would help. The recruiting trail, I think, would be fair to say. And you're talking about the class of 2021.
Yeah.
This Caleb Burton commitment's for the next year's class.
Correct.
Caleb's only a junior. But, you know, there's a lot going on. But that's where this three-week window, you know, this is why I say what you see Friday, you should expect the best Texas team you've seen all year on Friday.
It is.
Period. If you're a fan, observer, you should expect the best-looking Texas team because, again, there is no excuse. If you want to use a rust excuse and live, whatever.
No.
You've had 3 weeks to prepare for this game.
No, this is a guy coaching for his job. I mean, this isn't just some game. This is for the university and for your football program to get back to where you should be playing for a Big 12 championship or in the Big 12 championship game. But this is a guy who's playing, his coaching staff, those dudes are coaching for their lives.
Yeah.
And some of them have 2 or 3 year contracts, but basically they came to Texas. They didn't come to Texas to get 2 or 3 years. They came here for longevity and being here a while. So they're all thinking about, damn, I could be gone. I mean, that's what you're coaching for on Saturday, I believe, or on Friday.
I think you are. Well, certainly for Tom Herman. Now, there could be...
What are they going to do? Keep all the rest of them?
The new coach would have a choice on that and a decision to be made.
Some will stay and some will
there's
go.
There's a guy named Urban Meyer who has coached with a lot of these guys already, or several of them. But either way, first things first, the game itself and then the games beyond it, there's no reason this shouldn't be a sharp-looking, crisp, well-coached, ready-to-roll Texas football team against an Iowa State team that certainly looked dominant and played a dominant game on Saturday when they beat Kansas State handily, 45-0. The game was never competitive. But at the same time, you know, if you look at the Iowa State 6-1, they've had 3 or 4 really close wins. I mean, just like Texas, they had a 1-score win over Baylor. They had a 1-score win a few weeks ago. Their one loss was to Oak State by a field goal. So this is by no means... a juggernaut. This is a good team.
No, this is a
with
this
good
is
players,
a,
but you have every ability to beat that team.
There's
on your
three
own
good
field.
Teams. There's 4 good teams in this conference, in a year where the conference is not very good, and that's Oklahoma State, Texas, and Iowa State. That's it.
Right.
I mean,
Iowa State and Oklahoma State are getting better. I mean, they're improving. We're watching that in Norman, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma State is done.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's kind of peaked, and their offensive line issues and. They're not,
and you'll find out where Texas is this week.
Sure,
but you and I don't talk that much recruiting. But you're talking about the lifeblood of a program.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if Garrett Wilson was at Texas right now and he was doing the things and they found ways to get in the ball, there's a bunch of games that would have been won here with a player. That's how recruiting is. You just lose a quarterback to Ohio State, and now you've lost another kid right here in your backyard. You can't keep dropping these kids. You really can't. And that's what the fans are looking at. That's what they're looking to for the future.
Well, just the fans, the people who run the program.
Well, yeah. Well, they understand because they see those guys on Saturday. Garrett Wilson, 2 touchdowns. I mean, the kid that was right here? Yeah, that's what they look at.
Yep. Well, and there's going to be those saying that with the right coach in place now, maybe you can still land those guys. That Quinn Ewers, this was his dream school. Could you make it again his dream school?
They're kids. They can change their mind at any given time.
Nothing is official at this point. Verbal commitments are not binding. We know that, and those are for the class of 2022. And so people are still making that argument. But again, Tom Herman, the current coach, has an opportunity to state his case beginning Friday, and it's he can change the narrative pretty quickly if they come out and been put together, as you say, Tom Bowl Herman and extra time to prep and put together one of those Alamo Bowl-like performances we saw last year against Utah where you are the look. I mean, that's the first thing that showed up when you watched Texas play Utah in the Alamo Bowl with a month off last year. Texas's overall team speed, overall athleticism, even against a good Utah team, jumped off the field. That should be the case against Iowa State too.
That should be the case every Saturday. Right? What we saw at that game,
we should be
looking at
Texas
these
has
type
superior
of players.
Athletes across. I mean, this is Iowa State, right? They're still recruiting 2- and 3-star players.
Correct.
Matt Campbell does a really good job of evaluating, identifying, and then developing these players.
Yeah, they turn those threes into fours.
Yes, they do. But you still have the superior players, and that's what showed up in the Utah game last year, whether Utah wanted to be there or not for Kyle Whittingham.
It showed
or not.
Up in the Georgia game.
But we know this about, let me go back to the Utah game and the Alamo Bowl. Kyle Whittingham had the best record in the last 10 years of any bowl coach. He's good at getting his teams ready for bowl games, too.
No matter where they are, no matter what.
Texas whipped them for 4 quarters. That's what I'm talking about. This is what, this game should look like on Saturday. Texas should be sharp, playing fast.
It should look like what Iowa State just did to K-State.
Yeah,
they really should get after them at home.
I don't care what the score is. I'm talking about the product you're putting on the football field in all three phases. There is no excuse of the offseason, no spring practice, 7 new coaches, COVID. This should be a buttoned-up, ready-to-play team in a huge game that will you know, identify where they go in this season, and as you said, maybe the litmus test for the head coach's future at the university. So that's the level of magnitude that this game will be played at on Friday, and the expectation I think people will have, and I don't think have any problem, should have in that game on Friday with all the things we've talked about of this team, all those seniors playing senior day and still controlling their ability to go play for a Big 12 championship.
You can't deny the fact that Tom Herman was a part of that pipeline going to Ohio State when he was an assistant there in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why
Ohio
you need
State?
Yeah, right? I mean, that's why you had to keep this thing going when you're the head coach of Texas. Those guys can't go. They have to come to you.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we'll talk Texas throughout the morning, throughout the day. Of course, the game Friday morning. We'll talk Monday Night Football. How about Tom Brady and the Bucs? You know, when they've played good teams this year, they've really looked outclassed. They're 1-4, 1-3 now in their 4 primetime games. Their 1 win was over the Giants, the New York Football Giants, and they were fortunate to win that game. This Buccaneers team that had high expectations do not look the part of a contender. Meanwhile, the Rams might look the part of a contender at 7-3 through 10 games. They've got the best defense in that very tough NFC West. Jared Goff, if he's going to play like that, they have a chance. So we'll talk Rams and where they stand in the hierarchy of the NFC and the NFL in general. Also start to preview those Thursday games, which do include now Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is 10-0 for the first time in franchise history, and they get a limping, wounded Baltimore team on Thursday night. We'll preview that. Cowboys and Texans also playing on Turkey Day. We are jam-packed on a Tuesday that's going to feel like a turn the page, get you over the hump Wednesday on this short week of Thanksgiving. Appreciate you being with us. However you find us each and every morning, appreciate you being there on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We are always streaming live on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, Tuesday on the Horn, B&E with you. Glad you are with us. Talking Texas football. This guy says, why are we talking about whether or not it's a coaching change we made based on a 4-game sample size? I don't need to see anymore. We've got 4 years of evidence. Not the guy.
Well, because if Tom Herman finds his way back to the championship game, let's not forget, once again, strange year. People don't want to be messing around with a lot of money. They just, if there's a security blanket where a guy has won 7 or 8 straight games, it's going to be hard to fire a guy who gets you to the championship. Sorry, that's life
all over the
place. A
case
could
be made if they lose in the championship game, I think, because that
depending on how they lose.
To Oklahoma.
Yeah, even if you get beat by them twice, and you're in a really tight ball game, you may get to overtime, or it's a nail biter, you're still going to have to think that out. Now, if you get smoked, the way Oklahoma just got through hammering Oklahoma State, then it's cancel Christmas.
Yeah,
probably
because that's kind of the litmus test. That's
sure.
The bar right now, and
right.
That's not an unfair bar.
Well, yeah, because you were supposed to be in that. You were supposed to win the championship. You're not just. I'm trying to make excuses for Tom Herman. This is the year you were supposed to win the championship, not just get to the championship.
Right.
But I have dropped to the fact that if you win that many games in a row, it would be hard to get rid of a coach. It just would be.
I think so, too. But at the same time, to the texter's point, there are a lot of people that have already sold their stock on this coach, and that's your individual opinion. Well, and there's nothing you can do to change it. But at the same time, there are circumstances that lead to, you know, if you go 8-2 in a regular season,
yes,
your two losses were in quadruple overtime to Oklahoma.
Okay.
And on a your junior running back fumbles at the goal line in a game against TCU that you likely win if he doesn't. You know, that's going to be hard to swallow for some folks, you know, whether they like Tom Herman or not.
Right.
Because it's a very, very expensive buyout. There's a lot of money that goes into it. And I know Urban Meyer is sitting there and available, and some people claim chomping at the bit.
That dude is going to cost you a whole train.
Yeah.
Load.
But, and that we're in the middle of a pandemic and budgets are tight and all that. But the Texas, the money
we're
is
talking about the future of Texas. That's
right.
That's
and
what
I
we're
think
talking
that's
about.
What the fans would say. Look, you 8-2, great. If they win the Big 12 championship, there's no way, right? I mean, if they
correct,
were to get
there's
there
no
and
way.
Beat Oklahoma.
No.
An improving Oklahoma team in Arlington on December 19th, that would secure
even as hard as I am about this.
Shouldn't be an argument at that point.
As hard as I am about this, like lose one and we're looking for a new coach, if that guy won the championship, I would say, you know what, he deserves to be here another
sure,
year.
Because, well, that puts you into a New Year's Six bowl game.
Well, yeah.
You know, your two losses were, you know, one possession losses that you know, I'm sure Tom Herman sometimes kicks himself for not going for two in the second overtime at the Oklahoma game when he had Oklahoma, you know, on their heels and tired. Just win that game. Don't go to a next overtime. But either way, that's how close that game was. That game was played on a razor's edge. So was the TCU game.
It just, this whole thing with how the season, in the middle of the season, how things just start going awry, the eyes of Texas, things like that.
Well, that's as big as anything.
Those are the things with the parents. Those are the things that parents see and go, this guy has no control of his football program. The places that they're going, even Coach Day has control of what's going on at Ohio State. Urban Meyer had control. Nick Saban has control. You don't hear about these things. They may be happening on those campuses, but guess what? You don't hear about them right now. But it's a national deal when it came here, and he didn't take care of it properly, and parents don't forget when they start talking to their kids about it. They just don't.
That was a national embarrassment, the Iowa Texas game and the Oklahoma situation. And that's where it all came to.
Well, and it's hard to blame it all on Tom Herman, but it never got taken care of because when you get recruited, you're coming to the university. You're not just coming for Tom Herman. And that was an embarrassment, yes. And that still sticks.
Yeah.
And it still stings.
And that's when most of the big money bailed, right? Most of the people that own the program, as we like to say.
Yes.
That was it for them. That's all they needed to see. And that picture of Sam
Ellinger. You got to win those games, like you say. Yeah.
Went out, there's really no argument.
No.
And there shouldn't be. I mean, quite honestly, if you go 9-2 and win the Big 12 championship this year and your two losses were
goal
line losses, that's not a bad season.
I know there's going to be a handful of people, or maybe more than a handful. If the guy won the Big 12 championship, which that was the goal to do this year, not to get in the Final Four, because it'll take a little bit for this to be a Final Four type of team. I mean, at program again. I mean, this thing hasn't been together in a long, long time. To ask them on this year, even with Sam Ellinger, to be a Final Four team, that's like a pipe dream. Just win your conference championship. I don't know how you could tell a guy goodbye if he won.
I don't think they would. But again,
but there are some that would to.
Well, no, for sure. There still will be those who say, no, it's still not enough. I've seen enough after 4 years. But I think the reality would be there's the people that have to make that decision would have a hard time making that decision and making that call at that point. All right, so we've got that out there. We've got Texas basketball opening up their regular season tomorrow. We'll talk some hoops coming up. But I wanted to mention the NFL game last night, the Monday Nighter. This was a good football game. You know, you go in wondering where the Bucs stand, big picture, and you come out wondering, man, where do the Rams stand, big picture? You know, if I had told you yesterday that the LA Rams, who with Sean McVay are a run-based offense, they got to run it to win, run for 37 yards against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night, yet they win the game. I think that would surprise a lot of people. Jared Goff, they were a pass-first team last night, Buck, and this is where you appreciate Sean McVay understanding the weakness of the Bucs defense. And, you know, you expect those play actions and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
This was based on Jared Goff just shredding their secondary with Cooper Kupp, who had 11 catches last night, and Robert Woods had 12 catches last night. And they spread the ball around. This was a really nice performance by the Rams, who we know have the best defense in that division. And one of the best defenses in the NFC, and they played like it last night. This Rams team, intriguing at 7-3 through 10 games. They are now in first place in that vaunted NFC West. They've pulled ahead of Seattle. Remember, they beat Seattle in that head-to-head matchup. So they're both 7-3. Rams would be in first place right now in that division. That's how big that win was for them last night. Buccaneers, meanwhile, fall to 7-4 7-4 for Tom Brady.
Well, you don't see Tom Brady that often when you have an opportunity to win a game and get that kind of time left at the end of the game. Generally, he just takes the team down. I don't know. I'm not saying he tried to force the Brown to force the ball to Mr. Brown, but he caught five passes. Sometimes you just it just doesn't look the same. It just doesn't. And Tom Brady doesn't look the same. He's not. This is Tampa Tom. This is not New England Tom. And things aren't quite. I don't know. You would expect him to go down and at least kick a field goal.
I know. The kicker for the Rams kicks the go-ahead field goal with over 2 minutes to play.
And I'm thinking, wow.
That's way too much time.
Did you really do this?
It's way too much time.
And they were conservative, the Rams.
Yeah. Well, and that's where you give credit to the Rams defense. But, yes, this is a game Tom Brady typically would win in New England, no question. And there's no doubt that if you watch last night, Antonio Brown, he's trying to make Antonio Brown his new Wes Welker, right? He wants him to be that little underneath receiver, little slot guy that gets him, those quick passes.
What did he catch, eight balls for like 60 yards?
Yeah, all quick passes, all short passes. And that's, you go back with Wes Welker and Julian Edelman, that's kind of what they were. That little guy in the slot that he would read the cut and, get himself a quick first down. Then you use the big guys, Mike Evans and Godwin outside as kind of your big play threats. But just hasn't developed right now. I know they have issues on their offensive line.
Well, I think the other opposing teams know that too. That's what you're trying to do. You're going to try to dink and dunk with Antonio Brown.
Well, but this is where the Rams are tough, right? If you're trying to use Antonio Brown as your underneath guy and then get Mike Evans involved, he did catch a touchdown last night, Mike Evans, but yeah, Jalen Ramsey covering him. I mean, Jalen Ramsey's playing to a all-pro level right now and defensive player of the year level. That makes the Rams pretty special. Plus, the one thing about that Rams team, that pass rush is wicked. I mean, they were living in Tom Brady's hip pocket on just about every drop back. That's why he was trying to get it out quick to Antonio Brown. Didn't have a lot of time, and they didn't run the ball either last night. The Rams completely shut down their running game. Buccaneers ran for just 42 yards on the game. How about that? The two teams combined for under 100 yards rushing in this football game that ends 27-24.
Well, I don't think anything surprises us from week to week with the NFL. Those guys are smart. They change by the week. That's what's incredible about them. They'll let you know what they are, but they all can, they all can change by the week. Well, we're not this week. This is what we have to do in order to win.
Well, that's typically not Sean McVay, though, right? Sean McVay, they kind of stick to what
they are. Play action pass. Run the ball, play action.
There were a lot of first down passing. I mean, when you rush for 37, they didn't even try to run the ball. I mean, Malcolm Brown had three carries. Cam Akers had five carries.
I saw one of his great carries by Malcolm Brown.
And Jared Goff threw the ball 51 times. I mean, they just, I don't want to say abandoned the run. They just went in and said, you know what, we're not even going to mess with it. We think your secondary is the weakest link, so we're going to pick apart your secondary. And they did just that last night.
Yeah, that's often what they really do. I mean, it's like the Titans. You know what they're going to do. And they just say, well, guess what? You can look at all the film you want to. Derrick Henry's going to get this ball a bunch of times. We're going to come and play action pass. Our quarterback is going to take some chances with the big man, number 11, every once in a while. He'll take off and run with it. We have enough things that we can do to keep you off balance during the course of a game.
Right.
But Derrick Henry is the one that keeps you off balance.
Right. And
period.
They don't typically come off of that script, and nor do the Rams. But last night they did, which I find and this is if you're a Rams fan. You feel great that Jared Goff was able to win you a game head-to-head with Tom Brady, throwing the ball 51 times. He threw for nearly 400 yards last night. That's encouraging because
I think that's where the Saints are going to be, too, E, with their quarterback now. You're not going to know what to do.
Yeah, well, Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill played really, really well in their first game. Completed 18 of his 23 passes.
Just think about it. He's now getting another week of being a quarterback, period.
Yeah, first game, first team reps. Well, again, that leads to the NFC conversation where the Saints are the best team, and that was big last night to have the Bucs take that loss if you're a New Orleans fan, because now the Saints have a game-and-a-half lead. Plus, they've beaten the Buccaneers twice already, head-to-head. Saints own the season series against the Bucs. Two of their four losses came to the Saints. So the Saints are in complete control, not just of – I mean, things felt great for the Saints this week because when Drew Brees gets hurt, you're thinking, oh, geez, that's not good. Well, you go out and win a game. The Packers lose in overtime to the Colts. The Buccaneers lose. Seattle had a bye week and did not play. You're now ahead of everyone. You're sitting as the one seed and control that right now. You know out in the NFC West, the Seahawks and Rams and those teams are going to cannibalize each other a little bit. You've already beaten the Buccaneers twice. Saints are in a position, even without Drew Brees. We talked about the four-game stretch that they won't have Brees. It was two games with Atlanta. They already beat them one time. They got Denver this week. They have four very winnable games before Drew Brees would likely be ready to come back. And then you, as you said, you got to make that decision who's going to be your quarterback.
Right. Do you believe this?
But then the fifth game is the Chiefs, which right. will be a huge showdown.
Well,
in
those
December.
Are all. That, anytime you say the word Chiefs, it's a tough game, no matter what. Whether they have it all locked up or not, that's going to be a tough game. Let me ask you about the Broncos. That's the team that I don't like anybody when they have to go there to play for some odd reason. They do crazy things. But doesn't it seem like a Saints team that will go there and take care of their business where, you know, Miami couldn't do that last week?
I would think. I mean, Miami's a young team. Tua played a bad game.
Right.
And look, remember, that's still Vic Fangio, right? I don't know if Vic Fangio's a great head coach. I think his game management and his end of game handling for Denver has been beyond poor in his time there. But Vic Fangio came there from Chicago when Chicago had that just ridiculous defense a couple years ago. Vic Fangio can coach defense.
Yeah,
and for a young quarterback like Tua and a young quarterback like Taysom Hill, he'll have something for you. I mean, they're going to coach defense in Denver.
Sure, and the same for me with the Arizona Cardinals. An Arizona Cardinals that have to win the game this week versus New England. But Bill Belichick's going to make the little guy struggle.
Sure.
He's going to make him struggle this week.
The New England game, that's why what Deshaun Watson did for Houston on Sunday was so impressive, because you know Bill Belichick schemed all week to try to take Deshaun Watson out
Absolutely.
Of his game. And he accounted for 90% of the Texans' yards and all of their touchdowns in that game.
Can you imagine if that guy had a surrounding cast right now? I know it's, you know, talking about the Texans sometimes is ridiculous because they're nowhere near anything. But if that guy had anything around him, he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. I mean, he's in the top five quarterbacks playing, even on a bad team.
He was not early, and it led to Bill O'Brien getting fired because he did not play very good early in the season. He has been playing great for the last 4 weeks.
I think
if you just
look at his stats, you'd go, what the hell?
He's been over 100%, 100 quarterback rating
right.
every game. Even though they're losing some of these games, most of these games, Deshaun Watson's playing at an extremely high level. But you're right to the point that Bill Belichick and New England will have something for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals this
right.
week. And yes, the Saints will go in favored over Denver on Sunday. But again, the Saints are in a really good spot if they can win that game. They come back for Atlanta, and there's one more winnable game before they would have to play the Chiefs. They really can put themselves in the driver's seat to the NFC's top spot. Which
and you like their defense. I think the way they're playing defensively.
I think it's they and the Rams are the best two defenses in the NFC. The Rams and the Saints play the best defense in the NFC, period. And so that's the thing. If you're a Rams fan and Jared Goff's going to play that good with that defense, with Sean McVay calling plays, you have a chance. And that's the same with the Saints. You got Sean Payton. If your defense is going to sack Matt Ryan 9 times and allow them no touchdowns, you're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I don't think there's any question about that.
I don't understand why Lincoln Riley doesn't want to take his ass to the NFL.
That's random. All right, we will pick up
these conversations. He can do all that kind of stuff, man.
Continue the conversations. We got more coming in on Tom Herman in Texas. If the Longhorns win a Big 12, would that change your opinion of the head coach if you've already sold your stock in Coach Herman? We'll hear from Tom Herman as well, what he's concerned about with the time off, what he likes about with the time off, and the Iowa State showdown on Friday. And did you see what Mike McCarthy did as a pregame motivator for his team ahead of their big win over Minnesota on Sunday? We'll let you know what Mike McCarthy – oh, yeah, this was pretty unique. This was pretty unique in Minnesota on Sunday. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Tuesday on the Horn, B&E with you. Hey, if you want to be at the Texas-Iowa State game on Friday, it is senior day. Say goodbye to Sam Ellinger and Cade Brewer and many of the Longhorns seniors. Just be a part of a big game. The Horn Randall's ticket window opens today. That's right. Normally, it'd be on a Thursday of game week, but the game's Friday, and Thursday is Thanksgiving. So listen this afternoon from 3 to 7 to the triple option with RBKD for the Randall's UT football sounder. Text the keyword once they tell you what that is this afternoon between 3 and 7 to the number 512-451-5653. That's 451-5653, and you will be automatically entered to win a pair of tickets to Texas' game with Iowa State on Friday. So tune in this afternoon as that Randall's Horn ticket window opens up, and you could be at the game on Friday. And I was looking at the projected game day weather for the game on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Still looking like rain. 70% chance of rain on
Friday. It's almost
80%
chance, yeah.
Drizzling right now out there. Humidity's rolled in, so be careful as you're up and out. Slick streets a little bit as you get going on this Tuesday morning. There'll be diminished traffic with schools being out for the week, but be careful out there. Hey, Buck, I want to get into the Pittsburgh Steelers. Is there a realistic chance they could go? Are the 72 Dolphins at all sweating the 2020 Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, the only team ever to go undefeated.
But you have to go all the way to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, right? You can't lose a game like the Patriots did.
Patriots went 19-18-0 and then lost in the Super Bowl. That is correct. With Tom Brady and Randy Moss and that, that juggernaut, they lost to the Giants.
And they're going to rest somebody at some time when they get to the playoffs.
We'll look at their schedule because they're caught. This Ravens team, boy, how quickly the Ravens have slid back. I mean, Ravens lost to the Patriots last Sunday night. They lost to the Titans in overtime in a game they led 21-10. They let that one get away on Sunday in Baltimore. And now the reports that J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram have got the COVID. So they are not going to play Thursday night. They're down to Gus Edwards.
Gus Johnson. Not Gus Bradley.
Gus Edwards. They call him the Gus Bus, and then there's another guy that you never heard of.
Nah.
So they're thin at running back when they play the Pittsburgh Steelers in that rock solid defense on Thursday night. That'll be the Thanksgiving night NFL game. Should be a good one. Always a great one when Baltimore meets Pittsburgh. But Ravens,
it's always that low scoring 21-20 game.
We'll see if Chase Claypool can catch another touchdown. He's caught 10 in 10 games. He seems to catch one a game. I mean, at this moment, you'd give that edge, seriously to Pittsburgh at this point, the way they're playing.
Well, the way they're playing, the Ravens playing the secondary, yes.
Yeah, and the Ravens' offensive line is banged up. That's another thing to add, and they're on a short week. That game could get out of control or out of hand for Baltimore because we know if they can't run the ball, then Pittsburgh's going to load it up to stop the run. That could get one-sided, and Baltimore lose that game. They're 6-5. I mean, all of a sudden, they are in serious jeopardy of not making the playoffs in Baltimore if they fall to just one game over 500. Obviously, Pittsburgh with a win would go to 11-0, and they're that AFC is really, really congested right now. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Well, I know this if I'm the head coach, because it always comes down to the head coach. I got to be looking at my offensive coordinator and saying we got to do something different with Lamar.
You've committed to that offense.
I know, but
you've got your offense around it.
But as I said, we just got through saying. The NFL makes adjustments by the week in order to win football games. And you got to be able to throw the ball down the field. You can't throw if you can't throw outside, by the way, outside the boundaries, that's a problem with your quarterback. I'm not saying you're going to bench him, but you're going to have to take some chances and you're going to have to, somebody's got to be a speedster.
Calling for RG3?
No, hell no. I'm just saying you're going to have to take some shots down the sidelines, long, just to loosen people up so you can throw your slants.
Yeah, but they don't do
your
that.
Your 8-yard slants.
This is the one thing that I think what you're hitting on is something that's crucial to Baltimore. They've married themselves to this offense. And if they can't just change.
You got to change some of what you do.
Well, because your quarterback's not capable of it. Or if he was,
he can throw some fly routes, right?
They do.
Every once in a while, they'll throw one down there.
They've got to play better in the passing game. But everything that they've done in Baltimore, 2 years ago into the playoffs, last year 14-2 in the one seed, was built on that power running game, and everything plays off of that.
Get your tight end down the seam, get a slant.
Yeah,
right.
Everything's built on that run game. Once the run game is not there, and this is why I pointed out when we talked about the Rams last night, that was pretty impressive for me for Jared Goff and Sean McVay, because everything Sean McVay wants to do is built on that outside zone run game, the play action off of it.
Shouldn't that be a lesson to them, the Ravens then?
Well, but it's about, do you trust Lamar Jackson? I mean, and I'd also say they're not going to do this, just, make dramatic changes a short week, 3-day week into a Thanksgiving night game with Lamar Jackson.
This is the group that's playing their way out of the playoffs.
They are. But that's that's of note for Jared Goff, because Jared Goff, he's in that debate whether he's a game manager or he can be, high-level quarterback, an elite quarterback. Jared Goff completed 39 passes last night. They abandoned the run. They didn't even try to run the ball, and Jared Goff picked apart the Buccaneers. I don't think Lamar Jackson's capable of that at this point in his career.
You've got to try something. You can't keep losing the way you're losing.
Especially against Pittsburgh. And that's the last team you want to abandon.
Oh, no, Minka?
Abandon
Would
ship.
Minka sit back there in the middle?
Yeah. And T.J. Watt coming after you?
Yeah.
That's the team
it's not a good week.
But I'm very impressed with the Rams last night. We'll get you a stat on Tom Brady that's pretty discouraging of his big picture performance. But speaking of stats, can we get your B&E Fact of the Day?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Hey, last night, the 32nd time a Sean McVay coached team had the lead at halftime. You know how many of those 32 games they've won?
I do.
When it's all said and done? You do. Do you? It's about as good a bet as there can be at BetUS, right? You know, you can live bet in football.
Why haven't we done it?
What the hell are we doing? That'll be your B&E fact of the day.